Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:50 p.m. It's Monday, January 27, 2020. Before we begin, I want to thank Jordan May, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Nate Williams from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and everyone in the room to please silence your cell phones. We'll note him when he comes up with his bill. Present today, Representative Ledoux, Representative Shaw, Representative, my vice chair, Representative Kopp, and myself, Representative Kleiman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business today is House Bill 142, Native Organizations, VPSO, and TANF Program, sponsored by Representative Christ Tompkins, who has joined us today. Welcome, Representative Christ Tompkins. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. Here to introduce the committee's substitute and explain the changes is Representative Christ Tompkins and his staff, Aaron Harrington. If you could please come to the table, identify yourself for the record, and explain the changes.
Chair Kleiman, is my mic on? It is. Okay.
We think so.
Chair Kleiman, members of the committee, my name is Aaron Harrington. I'm staff to Representative Christ Tompkins. Thank you for having us in your committee today. The CS that you have before you makes significant changes from the bill that you heard last May in this committee. The bill that you heard last May was addressing programs administered by the same organization and a technical fix related to those, but the first four sections of the bill were dealing with the VPSO program. That portion of the bill was rolled into the crime omnibus that was passed last year, leaving you just Section 5, which you see in your much, much smaller committee substitute. Section 5 deals simply with the administration of the Temporary Assistance for Needy Family programs by Alaska Native organizations. In your packet, you should have, hopefully, a copy of the CS, which is just a single line, and then also a copy of the language that it proposes to repeal. Can I pause for a second and see if you guys can easily put your fingers on that repeal language? And I think Lizzie's showing you a copy of that. You have that handy?
Bob and I have one to share.
Okay, all right. I have one that I could also give you, although then I'd not have my own version to speak from.
I didn't find it in my...
Okay.
Maybe it's here, but I haven't found it yet.
Do I have one that's highlighted in yellow?
Yeah. Yes, it is highlighted in yellow. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, great. So just, I find that it's much easier to have this in front of you. So this is Section 4727070, which deals with the administration of Temporary Assistance for Needy Families programs by Alaska Native organizations in the state. And Section C, which may be highlighted in yellow in some of your versions and maybe just in sort of a soft gray if you have it printed in black and white, is the section that we are proposing to repeal in House Bill 142. The history on this is that Tlingit and Haida is the entity that administers the tribal program for temporary assistance for needy families here in Southeast Alaska, and has been for decades.
Hold on just a second. Yes. I want to recognize that Representative Stutes has joined us.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Good afternoon, Representative Stutes. So Tlingit and Haida has been administering this TANF program for decades. During the last grant renewal process, this Section D in state law came to light. And because Tlingit and Haida is not actually a regional nonprofit of the nature that you're familiar with perhaps in other parts of the state, like Tanana Chiefs Conference, Kodiak Area Native Association, these other nonprofit entities, regional nonprofits that administer the TANF program, because Tlingit and Haida is actually a tribe, this language in Section C technically prohibits Tlingit and Haida from administering this program, although you clearly see in Section A, subsection 10, that they are fully intended to be one of the administrators of this program. Sections A and B come, and Section A in particular, are modeled on federal legislation that was passed at the same time that this statute was passed. The statute dates from 1996, corresponds with federal legislation that passed at the same time, authorizing this program. The same list of entities are described in the federal legislation, but this Section C that describes them as having to be nonprofits that are incorporated in the state of Alaska, that section is only existent in state law, and it's just a confusing piece, and that we're proposing to remedy. And then the last point I'll make, and then I'll pause for questions, is that this fix that we're proposing here was developed through consultation between Tlingit and Haida and the Department of Law and the Department of Health and Social Services as they were identifying this problem and looking for solutions. So while neither Department of Law nor Health and Social Services are explicitly going to be on the record supporting this, I did again speak with them earlier today with Department of Law and with HESS, and it is fair to characterize that this solution was arrived at in partnership, in collaboration with the departments as they look to address this problem. So I'll pause.
All right. So before we go, just a minute, before we go into the detailed questions about what the bill provides, because we have a CS in front of us, and it's my understanding that sections 1 through 4 of the original bill are actually now enacted law as part of House Bill 49, I would at this point entertain a motion to adopt the committee substitute as our working document.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the House Judiciary Committee adopt the committee substitute to House Bill 142, version 31-LS0535-G, as our working document.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing no objections, the committee adopts the committee substitute as our working document for House Bill 142. I'd also recognize that Representative Eastman has joined us. So now it would be the appropriate time for questions relating to what is really truly before us, so we don't have to talk about the other sections, which are Title 18, and this is Title 47. Representative Ledoux.
So did a grantor or somebody that that Tlingit Haida applied for a grant with identify this problem and this language and say this is going to cause problems? Because apparently in, you say, decades, it's never been a problem. Who decided it was a problem?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair. That's a great question. In the room with us today are our staff from Tlingit and Haida who have been intimately involved in this, and so I might defer that question to them for how it was specifically identified as an issue in this most recent grant cycle.
Thank you. I'd like to hear from them.
So we can hear from them. I would note that, because you're getting ahead of the script, and I appreciate that, Representative Ledoux. We have two individuals present who may be the answer to those questions. Jesse Parr, TANF Manager for Central Council at Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, and Kendri Cesar, Outside Counsel to Central Council at Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. So if one of you, whoever is the best person to answer the question, might come forward.
Good afternoon. My name is Kendri Cesar. I'm with Tlingit and Haida Central Council. And your question is, who identified this issue and decided that it needed to be fixed? So in the last, Tlingit and Haida receives grants from the state of Alaska and works with Department of Health and Social Services and is at the end of a three-year grant. So at the beginning of that grant period or during the grant application period, that's when it came to their attention. It had never been an issue or been raised as an issue previously. But it was identified then, and that's when we worked with the Department of Law to decide that we would pursue a statutory fix in the 3 years of this grant period.
So what I'm hearing, I think, is that the administration, through Health and Social Services, identified a problem. You worked with Department of Law to try to solve the problem, but that the administration has no position on this bill? I mean, that's what I think I've heard.
Yes, they are not taking a position, but we did agree that this was the approach or this was the appropriate fix. And so as we worked on language with the representative, we've kept them up to date, and they are aware of the proposal here and have agreed that this is an appropriate fix to the problem that was identified.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Kendry, for being here. So, Kendry, just to help us understand, I just have a few questions. Tlingit Haida Central Council has been actively organized and recognized tribe in Southeast for how long?
Since 1936, I believe. I'm forgetting the exact date.
Right.
That it was enacted by federal statute.
Yeah, in that 1936 Organization Act, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I find this interesting because the Village Public Safety Officer Task Force, which I'm co-chairing, saw an issue where Tlingit Haida Central Council was a strong partner of the VPSO program, but not an incorporated nonprofit entity like the others were.
Okay.
And in going back through the historical records, we learned that, and I just want you to correct me if my information is wrong, we learned that the reason why the nonprofits were created to partner with the state, whether it's temporary assistance to needy families or public safety partnerships or other, is because the state was not recognizing tribes at that time as formal governments, and so the nonprofits were created. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay, so Tlingit Haida, last year I guess we took care of this with the VPSO program. Did I understand that Alaska Native Organizations covers the type of tribal partnership you bring to the table? And so now this is simply trying to do the same thing that to Tlingit Haida that has a long-standing practice of administering the temporary assistance to needy families, just like you were the VPSO program.
It is similar. The statutory issue was a little bit different, but the kind of the crux of the issue was that Tlingit Haida is not a nonprofit, has never been, but they are a regional tribe, and so this regional approach to delivery of services in Southeast is a little different in that SEARCH, which is the tribal health organization, is focused on healthcare services, and Tlingit Haida for Southeast focuses on social services and the VPSO program. That's just unique to Southeast Alaska. So the statutory issue is slightly different because the federal statute specifically authorizes numerous tribal health organizations and Tlingit Haida. So it is a little different because there's no VPSO federal statute, but this stems from congressional authorization of Tlingit Haida's operation of the program.
Okay. So I guess just closing then last question then, it appears from the language of what's being repealed is that the problematic language is the reference to a nonprofit entity, incorporating a nonprofit entity.
Right.
As you pointed out, you've been running this for decades as a tribe.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I had.
Thank you. So one of the questions that I had was, is Tlingit and Haida, if we don't make the statutory change, at risk of losing state funding on some of its programs?
Well, I guess we would work with the department to see what if there is another solution, but this was the approach we agreed on, and I'm not sure what the department's position would be or what our solution would be if this wasn't fixed.
And the other question I had is, as I broadly read subsection C of AS 4727070, it's what I sometimes call the garbage bucket catch-all to make it possible for other entities to come in and do the same task, even though they weren't on the list of entities that we identified at the time we passed the law. And I'm just curious, what happens if a new organization that isn't Tlingit and Haida isn't on the list, but then says, oh, maybe we should start providing some of these services? Is there any mechanism for them to be able to qualify in the same way as these listed organizations have, or would we need to make some other statute change to make it possible? I mean, I'm not suggesting the entity exists today, or the entity may exist today, but I'm interested in the program, I mean, what happens if that happens in a year? Do we have to come back and change the statute again?
Well, I'd have to speculate somewhat, but the federal statute that authorizes the tribal health organizations in Clinton and Haida to run this program has a special rule from Alaska, for Alaska. So the lower 48 tribes can operate the TANF program in the lower 48, but there's a special rule in Alaska saying that the regional tribal health organizations and Clinton and Haida can operate this program. So I believe as it's written, it doesn't currently open the door for other organizations to run the program. So it might require a federal statutory fix if another entity was interested in running the program. I haven't looked into that specifically, but that, based on my familiarity with the statute, I believe that's what it would require.
So right now, the federal statute lacks that very kind of catch-all phrasing that would allow some other entity to come in, and I suppose I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but at some level, what you're basically saying, this is directly tied to federal law and regulations, and, yes. And if federal law and regulations limits it to these 10, there's not a lot of point to give the option for somebody else to come in because they'll have to change federal law before they can.
Right. And this language does not come from the federal statute.
And then we'll have enough time to wake up and do whatever the feds did.
Yeah.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Are we trying to open that door so that some other organization in the future can walk through it?
This change would not open that door. No, it just removed a requirement that was not in the federal law so that Clinton Haida specifically can continue to carry out the program.
Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
I may not have my arms totally around this, but is there something that would preclude the Clinkit Haida from forming their own nonprofit in order to facilitate this and fit into this category?
So it's never operated as a nonprofit corporation, and so to do so would add another layer of bureaucracy, significant time and expense, and change to the structure without actually adding value to services. So that is something we discussed with the department early on when this issue was identified and why we agreed that a statutory fix was necessary.
Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
I'd actually at some point like to hear from the Department of Law as to the rationale for identifying a problem, working with Clinkit Haida to solve the problem, and then not taking a position on the solution. If the administration has any rationale for that, I'd like to hear it.
My understanding is the Department of Law just was not available today, but they may be available Wednesday.
So I see Ms. Harrington nodding. Is the Department of Law going to be available on Wednesday? And do you know who from the Department of Law will likely be here?
Chair Klayman, again for the record, Erin Harrington, staff to Representative Christ Tompkins. At this time, my understanding is that that person would be Stacy Crayley, who was involved in this, who works on health and social services issues in the Department of Law. After today's hearing and after hearing whether the committee would want to hear from them, I was going to confirm that with the Department of Law, but that's my understanding right now.
Okay. So consistent with that, we will hold on Representative. I was going to take a 15-minute break so we could get them on the phone or get them here, but if they have advised they're not available, we'll plan to take that up on Wednesday. Representative, do you have any follow-up?
I guess I'm just wondering if Ms. Crayley will be able to speak to that specific issue that I've...
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, I will make sure that she is in a position to speak to that, either she or someone else from the department. She and I did have a conversation about this very thing this morning, but I don't want to characterize their position, so I'd rather let them speak to it, but I'll make sure that they understand your question and are prepared to answer it.
Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
I'm trying to remember, have we noticed the Judiciary Committee meeting for Wednesday?
If you read your booklet, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And Friday as well.
Very good.
Any other questions for either the representatives from Clinkit Haida Central Council or the bill sponsor or staff? Hearing and seeing none. That means we will hold the bill for further review. I will note that it is my intention to hear the bill again on Wednesday and ideally move the bill. So that brings a couple of different things. If you are considering an amendment to House Bill 142, as I think we circulated the rules for amendments for this committee, please let our office know and submit them electronically by 5 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, January 28th. We will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, January 29th at 1:30 p.m., more or less following the whatever finance subcommittee we start with at noon. And if that committee runs till 1:30, we might well give another 15-minute break like we did today, but we're scheduled officially for 1:30. We will take up on Wednesday House Bill 146, Motor Vehicle Dealers, Applications, and Insurance, which is sponsored by my office. And with that, we will stand adjourned. It is now 2:11 p.m.